mourn the passing of a anime and video game great, as well as dive into whether cross-media is really the saving grace future of video games, and not to mention all of the remake and remaster hype that you want to get into and understand better on this episode 131 of the Playconomics Podcast.
What's good, everyone, and welcome to episode 131 of the Playconomics Podcast, where we break down the business behind your favorite and our favorite video games and provide you with just a little and then a lot of financial context for industry trends. I'm one of your hosts, Matt Mascari, and joined with me today, as always, is my man, Bobby. How you doing, Bobby? What's going on? Tell me how your life is.
I am living... What do they say in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air song, chilling out, maxed? Relaxing,
oh, yeah.
All cool.
Chilling out, max and relaxing.
That's what I'm doing, baby.
I've seen you play basketball. It's not that.
It's great.
Love that.
So, tell LeBron I'm coming for those ankles. Okay?
You might be able to take Brian Scalabrine. Come on.
I don't know who that is. You know why? Because he's below me.
That's the point.
You know? Don't look backwards. It hurts your neck. How have I been? I've been good. I told you that we're on a tight timetable today, so rambling... you're not going to be able to let me do it, but also you can't control me.
You're the one that gets mad every time I don't ask you about your day, and a 20-second how's your day turns into a 5-minute Matt, you're a bad friend segment. So like,
listen,
I'm trying here.
I've always said that you are a bad, unfaithful, low life friend a few times.
If you start quoting my fiance one more time on this podcast,
listen. That's between you guys, okay?
Let's get into it, baby.
sad day, man. Akira Toriyama, 68. He died. Creator of Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I was waiting Dragon for you Ball. To get. And, like, Dragon Ball is our generation's entrance into anime. Like, everyone could say it's Naruto, it's One Piece, it's whatever. It was Dragon Ball.
Was it Pokemon?
I don't consider Pokemon an anime. I understand fundamentally that it is. It's not, and I definitely watched Dragon Ball before I watched Pokemon.
I was never a Dragon Ball fan. Like, I could, like, again, now in my, you know, advanced age, I know that they've done, I don't know what it's called, but they do this with One Piece too, where they like abridged it.
Dragon Ball Super.
Is that what it is?
Yep. And they added on to it. They abridged it and then they continued the story.
Maybe I'll do that. Cause like you tell me, hey man, I got 1,000 episodes of something for you.
It's a lot.
I'm out. I'm done.
That's a lot.
However,
watch it for years.
Chrono Trigger, I am balls deep in. Love me some Chrono Trigger. I would say that Chrono Trigger is the best JRPG ever. And if you've never played Chrono Trigger, you're a bad person.
I do believe that I played Chrono Trigger a long time ago and potentially never finished it, but we'll see what happens. But Dragon Ball is obviously, if it's not the GOAT anime, it is up there. It is part of the big three, the Naruto, the One Piece, and then there's the Dragon Ball. But it is undeniably the father of anime.
Made it cool.
It did.
Brought it out of the Cheeto dust latent basement, even if just a little, and then put it back in. It helped it along a little bit.
I forget what developer it was. But he was talking about how when you give customization options to people in video games and you throw in like them being able to make their own clothes and like design their character to a T, the first thing you get is Dragon Ball characters. It's just instantly he's like, it's the first thing we have to design because everyone immediately puts it into the game. And then the next thing is ninjas. They make a Dragon Ball character and then they make a Naruto character. And that's how like people their first designs are always, they go straight to that. And I think it's because a lot of kids grow up and like, that's the first, yeah, they're superheroes and everything, but there's a whole generation of kids where like, they wanted to be Goku.
And but they like, want... you, I'm going to go on a bit of a red pill rant here.
Yep.
You don't get anime characters like Goku anymore. Maybe you do. Goku was the most toxically masculine person on the planet.
Okay. I thought you were
all he did was lift weights, fight. At one point, didn't he like abandon his family?
He ignores his his family the entire time. Okay. Literally the
and
entire
what is
time.
His son? Does his son go to therapy? No. Gets even more jacked and kills Cell.
Yes, and then as an adult is a bitch because he does go to therapy.
But that they softened him at that point.
Yes, they literally softened his son. He had the like it's a whole theory. They softened his son on purpose to make sure that Goku always stayed the main character. They were going to hand it off and they were like, "Nah, soft."
So but
soft
like these
son.
Anime characters you get these days, One Piece, Naruto.
Bro.
Goku would punch through Naruto and rip out his spine like the Predator.
If you listen to Power Scaling on YouTube...
I don't,
and
I won't.
No.
I don't,
correct.
And I won't.
Goku is scaled at the highest. He is the strongest person in any universe.
And I would argue that Dragon Ball had only S-tier villains. If you go through the sagas, Frieza, Mark Hamill, come on, S-tier. Cell... S tier.
What about the first ones before Frieza?
Nobody counts that, and you know it. I'm just going on the sagas.
Vegeta?
S tier. S plus tier. Because he also has character development.
Raditz?
No.
Raditz, bro? Piccolo? Come on.
Piccolo's not an enemy. He's a father figure to Gohan, and you know it.
He starts as a villain. It's the first villain, bro. No.
We don't have time for this.
We don't. You said no rambling, and now we've been talking about anime. And I can't listen. We're going to our first topic. And the first topic is, should developers be banking on cross-media universes for future video games? So to give you some context, Unknown 9, made by Reflector Entertainment, Bandai Namco, is a new Assassin's Creed-like game that was shown off at one of the Xbox like partner shows. And it looked really cool. It's not necessarily just a reskin of Assassin's Creed, but it's a very Assassin's Creed-y game. And in an interview with one of their developers on GameIndustries.biz, the developer talks about how they're planning immediately to upfront have a podcast, a TV show, a books series, and all of this based on this game that has not even come out yet. Should happen organically. You don't drop this all at the same time, because what's going to happen is you're not going to put out a solid game product, and I'm going to get half of your story because I'm supposed to get a fucking dissertation in whatever
Kingdom Hearts. This is Kingdom Hearts coded.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just there is no reason to put all of this background lore that isn't accessible in the game until after your game is released. Like, Halo doing a TV show made sense. Poorly executed, but their books are great. They have a lot of background lore in Halo that's perfectly fine. Last of Us, great TV show. There are storylines. I disagree. I think it's a better TV show than it is a game, but we don't have time to argue about that. The supplemental media should come after a success.
Agreed.
We have video games costing $250 million to make. So you're going to tell me you're going to gamble $250 million on whether or not your game is going to be good. And that's not enough for you. You're like, let me put $500 million in a TV show. $100 million in a book series.
Why are we not at the tables right now?
Right? 50 million. Like, they're trying to hit like a 16 leg parlay on a game that hasn't even come out yet. And it seems irresponsible. Like, I don't know how this decision
Let me tell you something. It seems irresponsible for The Last of Us. You give me a game called Unknown 9. Bad. Bad move. However, my counterpoint to this is what we've seen, what we see, and we're eating good now because we'll talk about it ever so briefly. The Fallout TV show trailer.
God damn.
Has so much. First of all, if you're the person who edited that trailer, you deserve a raise and I will pay to work for you. Because you convinced me in 3 minutes, 12 seconds of something that I didn't think was possible. Because when you said Fallout TV show, I was like, just kill me to death with a club. Now. Right now. I can't take it anymore. No. And then they're like, oh, Walton Goggins is going to play a ghoul. And I'm like, great, zero makeup required. That guy already looks like a ghoul. And I love him from The Shield. And I love him from Justified. And he was the best character in The Hateful Eight. And I'm on board.
For fuck's sake.
And then the trailer premiered yesterday. Mm-hmm. The full trailer, not the teaser. And from the first moment when that light comes on and he's smoking the cigarette, I was like, you got me. You got me. That was it. You're good. And then he, you know what he does, Matt? That I think maybe gamers will understand, but not writ large public. They paraphrase the BioShock speech. So the greatest speech ever in video games is in BioShock, is when you're going down in the pod and Andrew Ryan shows, and I've talked about this before, and he shows you the slideshow. It's a man not entitled by the sweat of his brow, and he's like, I'm going to show you a wonderful place. And I was like, God damn it. And he's like, not made by almighty God. I was like, this is the BioShock speech. This is the BioShock speech. And then the whole trailer is exactly what I wanted, where this character seems like this happy-go-lucky lady being tossed into, like, the worst place on the planet. And I'm just in. This, the Last of Us trailer, and you can go back to when that dropped, did not get me as excited as this did.
I think it did.
No.
I think
it. Because I didn't want and didn't like Pedro Pascal. I don't like. I think, what's her name? Game of Thrones?
Yeah, as Ellie.
God-awful choice. Lady they picked to play Abby, 30, 40 pounds of muscle, maybe. Maybe a good choice. She's a good actress. And you know what? Everybody needs to get off Pedro Pascal here a little bit, okay? He's doing too much. Now he's Mr. Fantastic. Now he's like...
People love Pedro Pascal.
I'm good on the Pedro... Like, you were really good in Narcos. I kind of bought you as Joel. Mister, you're doing too much. We need someone else, Hollywood.
I liked it.
And it's not going to be, what's his name? Discount Brad Pitt from Top Gun. The one who's in the new movie with Sidney Sweeney that everyone's
Miles
trying.
Teller?
No. The like conventionally handsome, all-American dude. Anyway, they're like trying to make him the thing now. Stop, Hollywood. Stop. Give Hugh Jackman his Oscar. For Prisoners, 10 years too late. Anyway, I'm fucking rambling. The Fallout show seems great. And in order, like, we talk about transmedia. I don't necessarily think transmedia or cross media, whatever you want to call it, where your property gains new life and new revenue streams through other means of distribution. Nobody on God's green earth does this better than Pokemon. And only now are we seeing other companies try to do it. Like, Matt, I'm a grown man with a wife and several children, possibly several more out there in the wild. It was a long weekend in New Orleans.
Yep.
Okay. What? But that Fallout Magic the Gathering deck? Matt, I need all those cards.
Yep.
I don't know what they do. You don't know what they do. That Fallout TV show? Goddamn. All episodes at once instead of the stupid every week. Give me my binge back. Give me my goddamn binge back.
So hold on. When does it come out?
April 12th.
Of this year?
Yes.
So what are the chances that when... Because me and you have been talking, and every time we bring up Fallout, the first thing you go to is, when are they giving us the remakes? I think if this show does really well, within 6 months of this being done, we have all of them.
But that's such a... stupid thing on Bethesda's part, because why would you not do that before to get everybody hyped for the show?
Agreed. Agreed.
You know why Bethesda's not giving us a Fallout remake? Because they'll show that their old games are better than their current games.
Listen. But to get back to the like general topic of cross media, so your opinion and what I really want to hammer home is we're not against cross media. Like, I loved The Last of Us TV show. I like the collaboration that Fallout is doing with Magic the Gathering. We love everything that Fortnite does with cross media in every sense of it. So we're not criticizing the availability of cross media. What we're trying to get across is that it shouldn't be step one. Step one should not be, let's focus on six different things on this brand new IP. It should be step one should be, and it doesn't have to start with a video game. Like, obviously we're a video game podcast, so we're talking about things that would start as a video game. But if your video game is a 6 out of 10, I don't want a TV show.
I don't need a show. I don't need a novelization. I don't need a board game.
And you know what? If it's a 6 out of 10 and you have all of that stuff, now it's a 4 out of 10 because you didn't give me enough story in the game. You didn't give me enough detail in the game. You didn't make a good enough game that you could have. So it drops even more. It's just make a 10 out of 10 game. Give me a Pentiment and then make a TV show.
Give me a 10 out of. Yeah, give me the Pentiment TV show. I'm going to say something that's going to send you into a rage like nothing ever has.
I can't wait.
But I need you to just hear me objectively and understand that I'm saying this as somebody who wants
you know
the
I'm
best
incapable.
For you.
I'm incapable of objective reasoning.
Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas are better turn-based RPGs than Baldur's Gate.
It's just like it's just not a turn-based RPG. Like, yes, it is. A lot of it is VATS. VATS does not make it turn-based.
No, skill checks.
It's considered a first-person shooter.
No, it's not. It's considered an RPG. It's considered an RPG. It's not a first-person shooter. Look up Fallout 3 right now. It's going to say RPG, not first-person shooter. Bad take. To put a pin in this, I think this is good. I can't wait for the Fallout TV show. I think that people are getting a little high on their supply of everything needs a TV show. Like, how many of these things can be good? The Horizon TV show can't be good, and The Last of Us TV show can't be good, and the God of War TV show can't be good. Like, what is going to be the loser here? However, it says RPG, doesn't it?
No, it says it's a RPG that's played in first-person perspective.
Okay, so...
with a gun. Like, Stop it. It's not... It is closer to a first-person shooter than it is a turn-based video game.
I think you're wrong, because you can move freely in Baldur's Gate. Certain things,
not during combat.
Certain things.
What the fuck are we talking about?
We're talking about cross media.
So which one's going to be a bigger loser? Is that what you're asking of these big three?
No, I don't know which one's going to be the biggest loser, or if any of this next
Halo.
Perfect example. That's not to dunk on Halo, but like expanding your revenue streams from a product that is already out makes sense. Ghost of Tsushima is another perfect example. Mm-hmm. Shogun is out. My obsession. If you haven't seen Shogun, Matt,
it's been
on FS.
List. It's been
oh
on
my
the
god.
List.
Oh my god.
It's good.
It is groundbreakingly good. It makes me want to start Ghost of Tsushima again. Wow. Ghost of Tsushima. Audience, that is a Matt ass collectible cool combat game.
Listen,
you would love Ghost of Tsushima.
I'll probably hop in.
I have the platinum in it. It is so goddamn fun.
Nice participation trophy.
Just to get there. My point is, the Ghost of Tsushima movie is being directed by the same man who directed John Wick.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Like,
that's going to be good.
So you give me that on paper, and I'm just like, yes. You give me a Pentiment limited series on Stars, I don't want that. Starring Ewan McGregor? No.
I don't even know who that is.
He was Obi-Wan Kenobi in the original. Not original, but the 2000s Star Wars movies.
Gotcha. I don't know. I again, very, very high on cross-media, and with the amount of effort that video games developers have to go in to making and utilizing these IP, especially now, where their IP are so valuable because they can't put out as many games. So they have to put out a part two of a game, or they have to continue to use that IP instead of getting it overblown and overdone and having to put out these releases constantly of borderline the same game. Like, they could speed up development if it's a relatively similar game. You get God of War 2018, you get one in 2020. It's really just the same game with a couple new bosses. It could have been a DLC.
22 we got. It was a 4-year
game. No. I'm saying they could have released it in 2020 with far less work if they would have made it a borderline DLC. Like, instead of Ragnarok,
like Tears of the Kingdom, yeah.
Yes, like Tears of the Kingdom, even though that took 7 years. Instead of having to release these games and not having any interaction with the player base, you could put out some different type of media that expands and increases the hype around your IP and increases the value of your IP, which, one, drives console sales, because if they want to play your game and it's an exclusive because they saw the TV show, they gotta get your console. Drives software sales. If I guarantee you, and we saw it when The Last of Us 1, when The Last of Us TV show came out, Last of Us 1 sales skyrocketed.
Witcher, the same thing.
Same thing. I understand the revenue stream. It makes sense once you have a good IP. You shouldn't bank on your IP being good, because if we know anything, and we'll get to it in the Discord question of the week, is not every game that's really, really hyped up is any good at all. So be very careful, Reflector Entertainment and Bandai Namco. You're gonna wanna maybe pull it back a little bit with Unknown 9. Make sure the game's good first. Make sure the game's good first. Then in like 5 years, give us a TV show, maybe, just a little bit.
What day of the week does the Fallout TV show release land on?
What day did you say it was?
April 12th. 11th or 12th?
April 12th is a Friday, 11th is a Thursday.
So I'm assuming it's the 12th.
Yep. That's going to be good. It's going to be so good. I cannot wait.
I'm not leaving the house. I'm watching the whole thing.
It could be bad. It could.
But that trailer, when Walton Goggins like, let me show you a wonderful place. But made by the working man. And then he's like, literally just his character from Justified, but a ghoul.
Did it say what, like what Fallout game universe it's set in?
Well, so it's the Fallout universe, but it's in a new wasteland. It's set in L.A.
Okay,
which,
so,
listen,
gotcha.
Those flyover shots of decrepit L.A. just looks like L.A.
I was going to say, did they just fly a helicopter over it and be like, this isn't even CGI. We have a zero CGI budget. This is just L.A. But
I am very excited for it.
Yeah.
I might. You don't ask me what I'm playing anymore. Because you don't give a shit. Because you're a bad friend. See, there we go.
Yep, zero.
I haven't started Rebirth yet. And I don't even know if I will, because I had the ending spoiled for me.
Damn.
I won't say what it is, but I know it gets real Kingdom Heartsy.
Yikes.
And I just don't. I think I'm good. And I know I'm like real bullish on that, but like the minute you're like, you have to play the racing game from 10 years ago and this, and there's many timelines. I'm like, you had a good thing going there.
And
but we'll see. I'll probably end up playing Rebirth.
Yeah. And I think that's the same issue that cross-media games are going to get, is that if you have all this shit, you're going to expect me to read this book, see this. And like, if I can't experience the game and have a good time in the game, just playing the game, I don't want any of that other shit. I want the game to be good.
Ding. And
the TV and the additional media should be icing on the cake. It shouldn't be an integral part of your storytelling
medium
ability. Yeah. It should be a, you liked this game. You know that one thing we touched on very little bit? This is a whole fleshed out version of it. Side character shit. Or this is a complete retelling of the exact same story in the exact same way, but now it's on TV. That's what it needs. With a pin in it. We're moving on to our next topic. And again, we're going to probably talk about The Last of Us in literally every segment of this podcast today. But topic two is, when should you do a remake and when should you do a remaster? And this is coming to you from an article from GameIndustries.biz. And basically, the moral of the story from this article is they looked at sales numbers between different year brackets of how does a remaster do and how does a remake do. So for a remaster, the closer you get to the original title, the better your sales are, with a steep drop off of about 50% of your sales are just completely wiped out if you release it more than five years later. Remake wise, the sweet spot is somewhere between 11 and 15 years, where you have a ton of remakes being made within that window, and there are 75% of them are selling over 2 million units, followed closely by 16 to 20 years, 80% selling over 20 million units, but far less remakes are made in that span of time. And then it just a steep drop off after that, with a very, very steep drop off before that. So it's very, very much a bell curve of the sweet spot is somewhere between 11 and 20 years. Absolute bell curve of where we are with sales for remakes. But first, I want to get into remasters, because I think I have personally been very critical of remasters, because there's one scenario that I am okay with a remaster, and specifically because their sales numbers are so high in the first 5 years, it's really necessary that it happens on one specific condition, that a new version of the console comes out. If you in any way make a remaster within that 5 year span and a new console does not drop, and it could be a Pro, it could be like gen 0.5 of whatever generation it is, completely fine with that. And I think, one, it's very easy money, and we saw it here, the 50% drop off after 5 years. It has to be a close range because it's really not new content. It's just kind of an up-res. It needs to be done very, very close to the initial launch of the game. And the only way that I could see that possibly being a justified new $60 spend or a $70 spend is if it's part of a new generation of console or the 0.5 generation where we get a Pro, we get a Max, whatever kind of thing that is. Bobby, thoughts on remasters?
I think you actually, this is one of your best takes here, man.
I'm unstoppable right now.
Completely agree with you. I think when you get that up-res console, the remaster works. But I think that what we're seeing a lot, and Sony did it for a while, so I'm not sure. Like, the perfect example of this is what they did with Last of Us 1 and 2. Last of Us 1, they remade. Last of Us 2, they remastered, but it was just an upgrade. That I like as the remaster.
So the
you give me the upgrade, you give me a couple little other bells and whistles and tweaks. They did it with Ghost of Tsushima, and so on and so on.
So let me ask you something, and I'm fuzzy on
Death Stranding was the other one. Sorry, they've done that. That's the other one they did that
I'm with. Funny on the launch of Last of Us 2. Did it come out with the PS5? Or did it come out on the PS4?
And came out on the PS. Came out. It was like the swan song of the PS4. Last of Us came out June. Ghost of Tsushima came out August.
And then November was PS5.
Was November, yeah.
Did they do an immediate up-res and make like a PS5 version of this already?
No.
Okay.
No.
So it was just one that they did the PS5 version of.
The ground up remake was one. For the PS5. But okay. Again, so Last of Us is a little finicky. So we had Last of Us original release on PS3. Then immediately, because that was the swan song for the PS3, May 13, Last of Us dropped. November.
The same year PS4.
PS4 dropped, right? Yep. So like that was the swan song there. Immediately upon the drop of PS4, we had Last of Us remastered. They sold it as a $60 game. But it was touched up and blah, 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 bullshit. Yep. They rebuilt that game from the ground up for PS5, and they just patched, like a paid patch, basically, up-res part 2 for the PS5.
Which was like $10, right?
Something along that. It was not. And you got the extra mode and all of that.
And similar for Last of Us 2. It's like a $10 upgrade for
exactly. Like the PS5. That's what I just said, yeah.
So the only thing that I want to ask is this remaster for, and we know that the PS5 Pro is coming soon.
Correct. This holiday.
Early 2025, earliest. Okay. Regardless, it's coming within the next year. Do you think that if Factions and I forget what the name of the game they were coming out for, Marathon, were ready for 2024, that we would have gotten this remaster, or do you think it would have launched on the PS5 Pro? Because I think it was for the PS5 Pro, and I think we got it too early, because I think it's a little soon to do the PS5 remaster of The Last of Us 2.
I think it should have just gotten the upgrade. Like, I don't understand why this has to be this big to do. Like, you give me, like, we used to get this, it was used to be called the Game of the Year edition. Like, they're just giving us the same shit but calling it different things. Like, give me my 60 frames up res. Give me my Bloodborne remake.
Did you see that?
He was like, oh, we're glad that people are interested in Bloodborne. Miyazaki's such a Chad.
Yep.
He's such a rug. Miyazaki has the entire industry edging on Bloodborne. And he's just like, we're glad that you like Bloodborne.
So, and we'll transition into remakes off Bloodborne.
I would want a remake.
A full remake then for Bloodborne.
We're going on 10 years.
Yeah, 11 to 15 is the sweet spot, baby. It's
Jesus Christ, we're going. 2015 seems like an entire lifetime ago.
Did Miyazaki see this same report that Playconomics has and go, well, we can't do it yet. We're 2 years off from peak time. We're 2 years off from peak time. What? He's not risking those fucks.
Miyazaki has like an S&M Bloodborne fan, like, locked in a cage by Will, and he's just like whipping him. You want that remake? You bet you like that remake. It's not coming. You're not going to get that remake.
Do you think any piece of us not getting this remake is because From Software wants to put it on the Xbox?
Not a chance.
Zero? Not,
well, first of all, Sony owns the IP, so they couldn't.
But From Software is not agreeing to make it unless it's...
Well, here's the thing. I don't know, and this has been the scuttlebutt for many a year of, like, why couldn't Sony just be like, FromSoft made Demon Souls, but Blue Point did the remake, and Demon Souls remake looks better than Elden Ring, right?
No.
It does. It 100% does.
It just doesn't.
You're wrong. Play them. You will love... You're wrong.
It just doesn't. And you can't tell me that it wouldn't look... Like, Elden Ring on a computer looks better than Demon Souls on a PS5. It's just...
Wrong. It's a different world. Last of Us Part 2 looks better than Red Dead 2. Both look really good, but in different ways.
Yeah, but then that's just aesthetic. Like, that's fact. That's just opinion.
Got him.
No, anyway. Now you're just... It's the subjective.
Because we're going all over the place, and we can't ramble. I said we can't ramble today. There's a contractual dispute. Nobody knows, because Sony could say, hey, Blue Point, you make the Bloodborne remake, which was the rumor for a long time. Yep. And they nailed the Demon's Souls one, so I would love if they remade Bloodborne. I'd have no issue with that. If at the next state of play, they're like, Bloodborne, Blue Point logo, fine by me, chief. But why haven't they done that yet? Like, it's, there are certain company products where it's so obvious that it's got to be like the break in case of all financial disaster. Like, for Nintendo, the Johto remake is behind like a big glass case with a little hammer. It's like break in case of money.
So
I think that's the Bloodborne remake for Sony, where if Sony gets real fucking desperate, it's like, Bloodborne remake.
So I just looked up sales numbers for Bloodborne, and I think there is another reason why they're not doing a Bloodborne 2.
Because it's too good?
No, because it didn't sell that well. It's looking at sub 3 million.
Okay, but guess what? Contextually look at every other FromSoft game around it. Bloodborne is a good-selling game. It's not Spider-Man that's going to sell 20 million.
Elden Ring did. Dark Souls 3 hit 10 million. I'm not saying
remakes
either of these
and
are,
remasters.
I understand.
Remakes and remasters.
I'm just saying that is it worthwhile to make a remake or a remaster of this game if... It does a quarter of putting a game on all systems. I could see From Software being like, we cannot dedicate the resources to making a Bloodborne remake or remaster, and we won't allow anyone else to do it because it's not worth the money.
Stupid take. Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? Because the attach rate of people with a PS5 to Elden Ring is astronomical. I would not be surprised if 1 in 3 people who own a PS5 also own Elden Ring.
I'm not stick saying with me. I'm not
just
saying you're
stick
wrong.
With me. I'm never am. The point is,
continue.
Those people now have the itch, and they've heard for such a long time how good Bloodborne is. Mm-hmm. And so now these people who now have the From Software itch,
play regular Bloodborne. It did not peak its sales.
Are remakes and remasters, what is the question here for this topic?
So it was it's really just the relevancy of remakes and remasters in the video game industry. Obviously, they're a necessity.
Final Fantasy Rebirth is going to be the top 3 best-selling games of the year. They are relevant. They are necessary. To what degree, it varies. Resident Evil 4, Game of the Year 2023.
Do you agree with the timing? So obviously, I think we both agree on the remaster as long as it comes with a general upgrade of some type of system upgrade, under five years is fine. It's clearly for swan song games that then get up-res to the new console when there's some type of content drought 2-3 years in the future.
Ding.
Remakes, however, 10 to 11 year, like 11 to 15 years just seems so long. And listen, we looked at the data from this article, and there is a steep drop off after 20 years. We're talking 50% sales just tank after 20 years. What do we do with famous IPs from before 20 years ago? Are they just not worth making?
No, I think people would set themselves on fire for a Chrono Trigger remake, for example. You give people a Chrono Trigger remake in the style of Octopath Traveler? Oh my god. People would light themselves on fire for that.
So, one of the reasons they state in this article for why after that 20-year drop-off, why after 20 years there's that steep drop-off, and it's not necessarily because people wouldn't buy them, it's that developers and publishers view them as extremely risky. Because
they're out of the zeitgeist. You're a whole generation removed from the people who liked it.
It's not even the game or the IP is out of the zeitgeist. It's the type of game. Because like true. Right, and we saw it with and you're gonna yell at me for bringing this up as an example, but we saw it with Warcraft 3. Keep in mind Warcraft 3 was at the time one of the best-selling games of the year. And was a fantastic game for when it released.
No one's fighting you on this.
I'm overcompensating. They released Reforged like 5 years ago, where it was just an up-res of Warcraft 3. Not only was it dog shit, but I think that it was... they remade an RTS. Why? So that's what publishers are afraid of. That like... 20 years ago, RTSs were all of it. It was 100%. But 20 years from now, aren't we going to be remaking a bunch of Battle Royales?
We're not going to be here in 20 years, and you know it.
Listen, all I'm saying is there's a piece of the remake remaster argument that as time goes too far away, it's not only that the IP is invaluable, because like you said, I think people would get really excited for a Chrono Trigger remake or just a Gex remake, for example. Just good, solid,
good,
games.
Clean American fun.
Blinks. Is that the cat? The
topic number 3.
No. Let me finish my thought. People would love some of these IP and their childhood IPs that I would definitely not pay full price for a Gex remake. I'd pay $20 to play fucking Gex remake. I'm not gonna lie. But is that style of game, is the N64 platformer, or not platformer, the, What is platformer. The Mario it's a type?
Platformer.
Is it
3D platformer?
3D yeah. platformer isn't in anymore. The only one that successfully does it anymore is Mario, and it was the only one that ever did it. Really,
let me tell you something. You what? Give me a goddamn Sly Cooper.
That's another one. That was what I was trying to get to with Gex, and that's what I'm saying. Like, so what is the decision making process that they don't do it? And the only thing for me is if we have this data where like instant 2 million units, if it's within that 11-year period and it's a good, like it's a good IP, what's keeping them from making the Bloodborne remake? What's keeping them from making?
I think you nailed it. I think it's that FromSoft won't let anyone else work on it.
But why won't FromSoftware then?
Because Miyazaki realized that the Elden Ring, the one true religion. Listen, I'm converting to the Golden Order.
I'm just saying that why would he make, like, best case scenario, if double the amount of people that bought Bloodborne buy Bloodborne 2 or the Bloodborne remake?
The Bloodborne inning. It's born in time.
Yes. It's still a fourth of the sales they did with Elden Ring. Why would they not be putting their effort into another Elden Ring that could go to all consoles, computer, and you could play it literally anywhere, your Steam Deck? Why would they devote resources to something that's
okay,
just
fine,
going to sell
fine,
less?
Just play it. You'll like it. It's a good game. Shut up. Just play it.
That's what I thought.
You're not man enough. You're not man enough to play Bloodborne.
We
just
transition. We just transition to topic three: the future of the gaming industry.
You're a soy boy, Bloodborne avoidant.
An X bot
oh,
is
I
what
I
like to be.
Oh, I need a little shield. I need a shield. If my game doesn't have a shield, then I can't.
It took
be a
you 2 years to beat the game. I don't want to hear it.
And I was a man by the end of it.
I'm just saying, it took you 2 years. I beat it without using a cheese build. And
oh, I started talking about Elden. I started talking about Bloodborne. I'm not gonna lie. I really thought I had beaten Elden Beast.
Yeah.
It, everything in my body was like, bro, you beat this. Yeah, I had even beaten Melania before I beat Elden Beast.
Sure you did. Show me the achievement. But the
do you
I'm
want
just
me
kidding.
To pull it?
I'm just kidding. The future of the video game industry: outsourcing, and more outsourcing. In this article brought to you again. I went on gameindustries.biz.com today. Or gameindustries.biz today.
.com.
.com. In this article, they talk about Virtuous, which is a video game developer, but they don't develop their own. So they're basically a contract or a mercenary video game developer where they have studios all over the world. And they will work on any piece of your game. They're capable of doing sound effects, visual effects, AI, different game designs. They can do whatever you want on whatever engine you want. But you have to pay them. And this is a very common business strategy. I work in biotech. I've worked with companies of 20,000 people and 50 people.
Matt, I'm sorry to cut you off. I have breaking news. I'm so sorry to cut you off, but this is genuine. We're talking about anime today. Breaking news. And it's business related.
Hit me. Is it Naruto's live action TV show?
You're so close.
Is it the live action movie?
In a desperate bid, you will never believe what Blizzard is doing.
No, they're not making a fucking World of Warcraft TV show.
Better. Cowboy Bebop x Overwatch.
This did not warrant a breaking news.
Bro.
In no way. Nobody cares about Overwatch or Cowboy Bebop. Who? Name five people on the planet that care about those things. Name two.
You were saying?
What Virtuous is discussing in this gameindustries.biz article is that as video games become more expensive, they take longer to make, companies do not have the capital to have that type of headcount to be able to do everything that is necessary for their video game. And because of that, the next logical step is to outsource things to not only other studios, But in the biotech industry, they're called CROs and CDMOs, and they basically just stand for whatever type of research you're trying to outsource. A CRO is a clinical research organization. CDMO stands for something similar. So what you're going to wind up seeing is that a lot of these companies are going to say, all of our visuals are done by this team now. All of our, and they're going to have these different contractors and like mercenary groups take over a lot of the unnecessary headcount. Obviously, the like core members of a team that design and make sure that the game itself is on track to do what it's supposed to, they're all going to be internal. This won't affect as much places like Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo. Obviously, they have the space for the headcount, but still, you can get a reduction in force and still pump out games at the same clip by contracting out these different developers and different publishers. So, Bobby, your thoughts on this being a sustainable business model? Because I know you're big on proprietary software and developing things, especially exclusives, on your own proprietary
look, engine. Look, here's this. You're going to see the video game industry start to go through the same purge that the tech industry did. Mm-hmm. We're already seeing that with layoffs. And we're already seeing that with downscaling in terms of you don't need four people to do the job of one person type thing. Mm-hmm. Do I like jobs being outsourced? No, not at all. But what I would rather 10 lean operations. Like I'm very against consolidation. I've said this from the beginning. They didn't need to buy Activision. Sony didn't need to buy Bungie. Everybody could have just stayed on their own and we could have just had more teams.
Yep.
This is what you get. You get consolidation and you get a reduction in headcount and you get a reduction in price and you get outsourcing. Is it sustainable? Sure. There will always be somebody willing to do the work for less.
So I do want to be clear that this is a different type of outlet, and we're using the word outsourcing because it technically is using anybody other than your company's resources to perform a task. But this is more of a service provider than like we're going to go to like the middle of nowhere India and pay people $6 to do an entire like
You look at this in the large scale production world. You have post production houses. You have post production houses for studios. You have contract. You have devs that you would never even know exist that work on some of your favorite games.
100%.
So, is this the future? Is this? Yeah, I guess. I don't know. To me, I think you're going to see the industry shrink internally before you see any more. Like the metric on outsourcing isn't what I'm looking for. I understand that it's on the rise, but I think that reduction in headcount is the more timely thing to be watching if you're trying to determine the overall health of the industry moving forward.
So let me ask you. So with the reduction in headcount, how do companies continue to put these games out? Because I, like you said, you don't pay four people to do a job that one person can do. This mm-hmm. article is saying that you don't need, like, you might not need four, but you need three. And companies are lowering it to one and then outsourcing those other two people so they don't have to pay benefits and things like that. It's all some other company.
But listen, that's the way the wheel turns, guys.
Agreed. But how do you feel about that for the mega giants? Because a small studio is definitely going to take more advantage of the whole platform of utilizing everything that this place has for offer because they have the idea, they have the basics down, and they're able to get some of this out, but they're just trying to turn it around as fast as possible and cheap as possible. So they're going to go and outsource and take on a service provider like this for some mercenary work. The Sonys of the world, the Microsofts of the world, the Nintendos. Where do you think they will leverage things like that? Things like this type of outsourcing?
I think Nintendo's an outlier, so you can't really point to them. And with Microsoft and Sony, because again, Nintendo, you don't see large scale layoffs. It's very, very rare.
They like, usually get raises.
Let me tell you something. We see a story in the, you know, between now and the election, if Nintendo's laying people off, all these people, all these Bitcoiners, all time high, take your money out, and fucking sit on it.
Put it under a mattress.
Because if Nintendo's laying people off, that's it. That's the last straw.
Speaking of people that are doing financially good, like financially well, like Nintendo, Capcom also saw a bunch of raises and again,
Japanese
100% outliers.
Outliers. Sony and Microsoft. I think you will see more fat trimming before you see people come in from outsourced teams. That's just my take on it. I think they have to identify true cost for their games. I think they overinflated. And I think because they are about 18 to 24 months behind because of the live service gamble.
Yep.
And once you kind of get that, then you can start accurately forecasting again.
I think that personally that reduction in force that they did recently was 100% to cap the losses on that live service thing. And I think from here on, they're like, we're in a fine position.
Quite possibly.
I would be very surprised if we see additional layoffs from Sony. I think
you see it from Microsoft before Sony just because of how much bigger they are. Yeah, I think you'll see a lot more consolidation there.
And I would also say that Microsoft really hasn't, specifically in like the Xbox realm I'm speaking of, they really haven't had much of an effect on Xbox gaming, because those 1,300 people that we talked about a couple episodes ago, that was because of the merger. There was redundant positions. So listen, it's never good when people leave their jobs. Of the like severity of company financial health that goes off, if in a merger you lose a couple people, you went through
that's
a merger.
That's where the wheel turns,
yeah,
baby.
There's redundancies. There's no way that you were like, oh yeah, look at that. Our company seems seamless. And like, you're telling me that the procurement officer, do you need five of them? No. Do you need 75 customer service people? No. There's built-in redundancies because it was a merger and acquisition. So I think you're definitely spot on that we will see one from like Xbox Game Studios before we see another one for Sony. But I think the 900 from Sony is all they're going to need, because I think they looked at this as a one-to-one metric of this is how much money we lost because of this live service. Just fumble. This is what we have to do to make up for it, to keep us on track moving forward in 2024 and beyond, to get us to those games that we will eventually publish in the middle of 2025.
Agreed. Matt, what's our Discord question of the week? Brought to you by Philip Morris Cigarettes.
Our last segment of the day, our Discord question of the week is, what was a game that you were so, so hyped to play, and it was just not good? You want to think about it while I read some of the people from the Discord?
I have my answer, but I'm trying to think if I have a better one. So yeah, go through.
Immediately, Thick Grape responds, Starfield. Facts.
Bad game. Bad
facts.
Game.
Everyone was very hyped on Starfield. Not myself. But it was very, very overhyped for a decent video game. Thick Meats, we need a face reveal. Because you copied the Thick Men's moniker of the Thick with four
C's. It's definitely Jacob.
With the Thick with four C's, we need to know who you are. And you put in some heat into the Discord. So I'm happy you're there, but I need to know who you are. Thick Meats says, any Warzone patch, which broad strokes, he's just saying Warzone's dog shit and it gets worse every time. The CPA, obviously going with Assassin's Creed Unity. I expected an Assassin's Creed game from you, I'm not going to lie. And then he said, not his own, but also everyone was hyped for Anthem, and that game was also dog shit.
Agreed. And
fair take. Mine, personally, Redfall. I was really, really hyped on Redfall.
You bet the farm on Redfall.
Because, like,
you...
the Apex squad, you can only play with three people at a time in Apex, and we have four people in the rotation. Redfall was supposed to be the game we could play when all four of us logged on, and it wasn't good. I did eventually get through the campaign with one of my friends, and it was fun, but we had fun despite Redfall, not because of Redfall. And then also, Immortals Fenyx Rising and Assassin's Creed Valhalla, They were the first two games that I bought when I bought my Xbox Series X.
I bought AC Valhalla and Demon's Souls.
And I was so mad because these games were awful. And I heard Valhalla got better as you got into it, but like all
486 hours of it.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, how deep do I need to get into this game before it's good?
That's like the One Piece, bro.
Immortals Fenyx Rising was like, again, Ubisoft game. It was the worst iteration of a like reskin of Assassin's Creed. Like they were like, let's make a fun, cartoony Greek mythology Assassin's Creed. And everything cool about Assassin's Creed, get rid of it. We don't need it. Don't need it.
Big agree.
Your last one, Bobby. Send us off.
Ooh, man. Let me tell you. There was a once upon a time when... Let me see what year it came out. When... Hold on. I just want to set the scene.
It's almost like you had all of this time that I had given you.
In 2012, Matt. How old were we in 2012? How old were we in 2012?
I don't know. 12 years younger, so I was 17.
And I was 15, probably?
Yeah. Maybe? 16, probably.
And, you know, Bobby, who loves Resident Evil, saw the trailer for Resident Evil 6 after loving 4, after loving 5. And the trailer of Resident Evil 6 ends as I knock over my mic like a troglodyte. With Leon Kennedy and Chris Redfield pointing guns at each other. And I lost my goddamn mind because I was like, "That is they've never been in a game together. Coolest thing I've ever seen in my goddamn life. I need this in my veins right now." And then it came out. And it is unequivocally the worst Resident Evil ever. If there's ever a game that they need to remake and give the Final Fantasy Rebirth treatment, where they're like, we're just going to take 2/3 of this and cut it. Leave the Leon stuff. Cut the shark.
Damn, they jumped the shark in it too?
They jumped the shark. They gave Wesker a kid. It was just.
They tried to do the adult theme.
Bad. No. Like you play as his son, not like they gave him a kid.
Oh.
Stupid. Bad, stupid. Resident Evil 6 was the biggest letdown of all time.
Listen, you heard it here. This has been the Playconomics Podcast. And remember, if you want to be in the Discord question of the week, you got to join that Discord. And while you're at it, like, follow, subscribe, and make sure that you never miss a single episode of the Playconomics Podcast. And as always,
happy gaming.